Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that time's yours.
Training camp is just around the corner, and man, I'm just excited to have sports back, because with no NBA finals this year, they just stopped playing those games after the conference finals, which I thought was weird, but they did it. The Kansas City Royals are no longer playing baseball. They just sort of stopped because we all stopped watching. Really, guys, you know, the fact that we're just all Chiefs all the time around here really is a good thing that it's just around the corner.
Hey, Josh, can you hang on 1 second while Nate and I sidebar on something? Just cover your ears.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take out my headphones. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Nate, should I tell him? Or, I mean, I'd really like to, actually.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
You know, this is concerning behavior, but I think we can help him. But it's just got to be delivered delicately.
Yeah, reality is where we live, and so does Josh.
Okay. All right, so I'll do it very, very delicately. Hey, Josh. Hey, Josh.
Just put my headphones. Sorry. What's up, man? Yeah, I took my headphones off.
Josh, I just wanted to you know, just let you know that, you know, this is a safe place.
Sure.
And we all care about you.
We love you.
And well, that's really kind. I think it's just really important that you know that Suns in Four is dead. The Royals suck, and you need to grow up and act like a man. How's that sound, huh? Why don't you just suck it up, buddy? Life is hard, and you need to understand that you cannot live in denial if you want to put one foot in front of the other and give it 110% every day. All right?
Sorry, I just took my headphones off and put them back on again. What was that?
Nate, how'd I do?
Your team didn't lose to an NBA that didn't want Dirk Nowitzki to win in 2006, okay? Your team didn't lose to, you know, a team that, you know, just ball movement you to death like the Spurs in 2014. Hey, you didn't lose when, like, somebody on your team went full John Starks and just kept firing off bricks.
These are helpful words of wisdom for me. And really, I think both of you guys, kind of good cop, bad cop on this one, I really think are helping. Because, you know, what I've had to come to expect is that the Phoenix Suns were the best team in basketball this year that did not have an alien from outer space on their team. And that I can live with.
And now you know how the San Francisco 49ers felt in 2019.
See, kids
were bringing it all home. Because last night, I was sitting on my couch thinking about two people. Yes, one of them was Josh. And the fact that, like, I'm not texting this man. We're not going to text through it because he's a Suns fan. And the other person I thought of was my wife, because she was, you know, looking at her phone. And I was like, hey. Like, just being annoying. Are you watching? and then with 2 minutes ago, I looked at her and I was like, we're going to talk about this forever. So, hey, you just lost to a guy. We're going to talk about it forever. I mean,
that's right.
To be clear, folks, what Giannis Antetokounmpo just did last night was absurd. And I could literally say the same thing in early February of 2020, when Patrick Mahomes' knee went somewhere else.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. You're right. He
had the knee injury. He won the championship.
You're right. The knee injury into the championship is a two-person category.
Yes. In the modern sports era. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way,
it's a two-person category.
Kids, start bending your knees differently. Okay. That's what it flexible. May take to win a championship.
Holy cow. I think you caught on to something there, the alien theory.
Yeah.
Sports have fundamentally changed, I think, in the last, I want to say decade, but it feels maybe even more recent. Mm. Like football, someone broached the question, and again, this is how we bring it all together, right? This is how it relates. Someone broached the question on Twitter the other day, Can you win it all in football anymore and like consistently contend without an alien at quarterback? Not just a good quarterback, but an alien. And now Tom Brady is not an alien the way like Patrick Mahomes is an alien, but Tom Brady's an alien.
Yes.
He was 43 last year.
Yeah, he's not even human.
Yeah, he's inhuman. He's you either need an alien or a vampire. and I'll leave it to the imagination which one Tom Brady is. I'm kidding. He's clearly a vampire.
Clearly
but,
a vampire.
I mean, he's ageless. And that kind of applies in some ways, I think, you know, to the NBA. When you look at the current layout of the league, what do you do when you've got very, 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 very good players? The Suns are a really good team based on the little that I watch. But they didn't – they just – even their best players, then you look at Giannis, you're like, well, why do they have the junior high guys playing with the senior?
Right.
Like, that doesn't seem fair.
Right.
And it just makes you curious about a new era that we're reaching. Baseball, same thing. You've got a guy pitching and hitting home runs. No one's done it since Babe Ruth, guys.
And even Babe Ruth did that. He pitched for like the first like 6 years of his career, and then he went and hit.
Right.
Otani's doing them both at the same time.
And he complained that it was too hard to do both. The greatest, the undisputed greatest ball player in history complained it was too hard. Now, to be fair, that's probably because Babe Ruth was going to bed at 4 a.m. every single night and did literally nothing to take care of himself. So, you know, that was probably a bummer, but it's too hard for him. So, I mean, baseball has that going on. You've got that with the NBA, obviously. Like, do you need an alien? And in football, I'd argue it's true as well. As we look at teams that could potentially challenge the Chiefs this year, you look at, like, the Browns are everyone's favorite right now, right? And the problem for them is that Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback.
Right. That is their problem.
That's their problem.
Because he's not. We have scientifically tested this man. And he's not an alien.
He is not an alien. He is a human being. And that's problematic. Whether you go against, that doesn't mean you can never win, right? Sure. Especially in a one-off like football. I don't know what teams are going to do with basketball, where it's a seven-game series. If football were decided in a seven-game series, which would be hilarious because it would take like 2 months for a series to go, that would be amazing. And I would totally be here for it if they turned the Super Bowl into a three-game playoff.
Yeah, best of three would be kind of fun. I could get down with that.
And I think Andy Reid would wreck some fools with that.
Oh, yeah. It would be good for the Chiefs. Absolutely. Yeah, anyone
but Belichick. I wouldn't want to see Belichick in a best of three series. Like, whew. Anyway, with basketball, you've got to really be the better team for the most part because of that. Whereas in football, there's so many variables. But to contend year in and year out, I don't think you can do it with a good quarterback anymore. And it used to be, I wonder, would we call it like the Alex Smith demarcation line?
I think Kirk Cousins just has made so much money and has fooled so many people that I was going to say Kirk Cousins, but Alex Smith is the line of demarcation. I don't mind.
Alex Smith has been to a championship game and has won multiple playoff games, none of which
he has.
Kirk. That's so
like,
true.
Like, I'm sorry, folks. I love point. Kirk Cousins.
Well,
but I kind of don't because I draw the line at Kirk Cousins. I'm sorry, Kurt. Like, if you hear this, like, I'm sorry. I guess you're my Troy Aikman, but like, I just, no, okay? Like, my man, Jimmy Garoppolo, only had to pass the ball, like, how many times? Like, what were you doing? Like, come on.
Kirk Cousins is here.
Now, hey. We are raising a banner for Kirk Cousins in a completely different manner because that man got all his money guaranteed, okay? So, again, love you, Kurt, but, like, that's kind of where my line is. Another thought I had, Josh, in relation to Seth's idea here is give me Joe Flacco. Give me elite Joe Flacco with Hall of Fame Ed Reed, Hall of Fame Ray Lewis.
Like, yeah.
Maybe that's, like, what's required.
Well, and that's exactly what's required.
And that's the argument for the Browns, too, right? Is that they do have some defensive aliens, but, like,
right.
I don't know if it matters. You got to have a dude that can put up 40, 40, and 50 in basketball. You've got to have a quarterback that can erase a lead. Like, I think it, at least, again, not to win a single game. The Browns could absolutely win the Super Bowl this year. That is absolutely, if you sim this season 100 times, they're winning it a couple times probably. But to be the team that's there 4, 5, 6 years in a row, you need Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, yes. Or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or, you know, but or Joe Montana. I mean, we can go all the way back. One thought, and Josh, this is when I knew we were all in trouble and that we were watching something historic last night. And there are honestly going to be moments in the football season where, hey, maybe Patrick Mahomes goes up another level, which, again, kind of terrifying. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton has been the best post defender in these playoffs all year long. Yeah. And when Giannis went left to right, spin move, scoop, layup with his right, I was like, you know what, kids? it's been a great summer, spring, but I mean, he scored 50. I mean, just and his knee went a different way than it should have went, and he won the championship. And from the moment it became clear in game two that, hey, the Suns won. Wow, they really like pulled off this like impression of like Popovich's Spurs. But it became clear in game two that Giannis was like, oh, I could just do anything. Like, I feel healthy and my knee's right. I mean, it was essentially second quarter AFC championship game of the 2019 season where he was just like, oh, they could double team Kelsey. They could double team Tyreek. I mean, I still have answers. Like, it's just, what do you do? And
there's still something. I think the best example of it from a Chiefs perspective, obviously you've got all the playoff heroics. I would argue that the Super Bowl contains examples, even this last one, and then people drop the ball. it's still hilarious to me. I'm reviewing the film for the best plays Mahomes made that didn't count. I think I might leave out the Super Bowl because it's so glaringly obvious that three of those plays
don't
unbelievable.
Don't you?
I could write an entire article about
Darryl
the best
Williams
plays that didn't count in the Super Bowl.
That's the thing. That's what I was thinking, Seth, is like you could just do another version that's just best plays that didn't count, Super Bowl edition. And that's a whole other article on the Chief the North newsletter, mnchiefsfan.substack.com.
please subscribe. By the way, it's one of my favorite pieces annually of the year. It's just, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Because it's not recorded in the box score. And every time I go back and look at these games, if I'm not watching them in their entirety, which, by the way, kids, I stopped doing that around March. I forget that, like, oh, that's not in the box score, so therefore I'd have to really watch the game all the way through. And what Seth does, he does it for you, and it's incredible because Patrick's a football alien.
Yeah, he is, and it's worth watching. That's another reason why I might lean away from the Super Bowl, because everyone remembers the three main ones.
That's true.
I like writing about stuff that people kind of missed in the moment. That's why I like, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it, when I wrote about like Travis Kelce
and
can't be covered.
Somewhere Darryl Williams says, thank you, Jesus.
It was bad. Here's another interesting thing. But anyway, I like going into each thing. If we get a chance to talk about Freak Play Friday, by the way, for the first time ever, I recounted every step that Travis Kelce took in a route, just to show the purpose of every step. And it's the most fun I've had doing this job in months. On a side note.
Well, we should carve a little time for that. Because basically here's sort of the deal. And thank you for both of you for walking me through my sorrow, and also for reminding me that the Chiefs have the alien, even though my basketball team just merely has very good players. So I feel a little better, and I'll wear my son's NBA Finals hat without any reference to what the final point of the finals was with pride eventually. Probably not today, but maybe sometime. But I obviously want to look ahead to training camp a little bit with you guys, because it's just around the corner. Nate, I imagine, are you up there this weekend? I'm going to be out there on Sunday.
Oh, I heard this. And I will be out there as well. I mean, we're going to hug it out and sweat together, my friend.
Dude, it is going to be. I saw the Star tweeted out some story about how it's like there's a 105 degree heat wave coming. And I'm just going to be gross. Like, it's just that St. Joe is just going to be gross for a month. That's just what it is.
Hydration, y'all. Hydration. Oh. Just get those fluids in you. But for our listeners. So the way it usually works is everything, like the quarterbacks and rookies report on Friday, where we'll get to talk to Patrick Mahomes to start off the year. Then there's a couple rookie practices starting on Saturday. Obviously, me and Josh are going to be out there Sunday. The veterans, i.e. the whole team, will be together early next week. And then mid next week is when I believe, and I need to double check this, I believe is when fans are going to be allowed to view full team practices, which will be really, really exciting. But usually there's like a kind of a nice little ramp up, and that all kicks off Friday / Saturday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we'll look ahead to maybe some things that we want to see this weekend, because we'll do another episode sometime next week in all likelihood, but not another one before we get to camp. And I also was going to try to get you the actual dates here on when fans are able to show up, but my internet's not moving as quickly as I would like for it to, which is 100% true 100% of the time, I guess.
it's okay. On Wednesday.
Yep, I just got to it. I just got there.
Go ahead, sir.
Season ticket member day is Wednesday the 28th. First day open to the public is the 29th, and there are a couple of $5 days. And then at this point, also, you got to get your tickets online, and that those reservations open up on July 7th. So I don't know what's left in terms of getting sort of your reservations and whatnot, but first fan open practice is Thursday, the 29th. So about a week away from that. But also, because we're still a little ways away from camp getting here, we should talk about the news thing that happened. Mercifully, the Chiefs had a news bulletin come down the line right before we were doing a show, basically, after we'd already scheduled one, but before we recorded it. And it's happening on the edge. And I'm really interested to hear what both of you guys have to think about this series of events. So Melvin Ingram, obviously, much discussed, much ballyhooed around the Chiefs, maybe ending up being the veteran that shows up in the other defensive end spot, perhaps opposite Frank Clark, whatever. He signs the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then not very long after, the next day on Tuesday, Alex Okafor, who I low-key kind of forgot was not on. I just sort of assumed he was a Lion or something, honestly. But he was still in the free agent market, and he has his return for his third year with the Kansas City Chiefs. As we record right now, don't have anything on the price tag of Alex Okafor, but they bring him back, add a guy that's been in this defense the last couple of years. I've got kind of some pros and cons thoughts, but I'll let you guys take it from here. Nate, will you tell me kind of what you thought as you were able to confirm that report, and now that you know that he's on the roster? And then afterwards, Seth, I'd love to know what you thought about Okafor's last couple of years in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, in essence, and I had written about this in a couple mailbags, the idea that, yes, the Chiefs were still going to be in the mix when it came to Melvin Gordon. Interestingly enough, I thought this happened sooner than I anticipated. Mm. So, you know, what I've been saying for months now, and I hope people understand this, is, you know, veterans of Melvin Ingram's caliber are like... Let's talk about the logistics. I got to pack my stuff. I got to get in a car, then probably get in a plane, get my stuff, get settled, and then have these hot practices for who? For what? Shout out to Ricky Waters. Anyway, the thought process is, you know, guys want to stretch this as long as they physically can. Now, there are two thoughts of how you want to go about it, in essence, both from the player, the team, and including the agent. So this happened a little bit earlier than I thought, because it's still before anybody has officially opened camp, although I think the Dallas Cowboys are always the first team that, like, we're here, we're in Oxford, we're out here. No one's practicing right now. So Melvin Ingram knew what the number that came from the Chiefs in March, and it is his agent's job. I'm just telling you straight up. It's his agent's job to find a better deal. Pittsburgh Steelers are like, whoa, that's right. We ain't got Bud Dupree. No, we need some pass rushers. Get on the phone. Who available? And it works out for Melvin Ingram, because I think this is a guaranteed situation where he knows I'm probably going to start. I don't think the Chiefs could have ever given Melvin Ingram that particular distinction, especially in March. Obviously, things are different now. We've already discussed the Frank Clark situation. But the job was to get a better deal. So it's roughly, and I think this was Jason Lockefor's report, that it was 1 year, $4 million. Yeah. So you could assume that's more than what the Chiefs were offering. And we can basically know that because in terms of the caliber of player, Alex Okafor is not Melvin Ingram, but Alex Okafor knows the roster. He is trusted. He is reliable. Parentheses, when healthy. So his deal is 1 year. I don't have the details of it yet. None of it's come out yet, but I imagine it's less than 4 years. Interesting note, ladies and gentlemen, both of these players are represented by the same agent. Therefore, the agent usually, and this usually is what happens, not all the time, but usually, the agent needs to get the better, the bigger name, whatever you want to call it, the player who can command a bigger deal, they need to figure out their situation first. If that domino comes into play the way they imagine it, that immediately then turns that attention to the next player down the line, particularly if they're at the same position, as is this case. So that's kind of how this all happened. The Chiefs, my understanding, had been in communication with Alec Okafor for a while. That partly is reason why, you know, we not going to give you the most money, Melvin. And Melvin's like, okay, I play for the most money. So I understand both parties in all of this, or all parties, I should say, in all of this, but they are represented by the same agent who got one deal done, who was able to get the next deal done. It works out, I think, well for both players, honestly, with both organizations, because it was clear that Melvin Ingram really liked the idea of A, starting, and B, playing for a coach that he respects up in Pittsburgh. And Alec Okafor, as I, reported on Twitter and in The Athletic yesterday, wanted to come back for the Chiefs, knows the system. And when he's been healthy, has been a contributor, which will eventually lead into Seth's point at this point in time. But that's sort of how it all shook out. And, Seth, if I am wrong in any way, shape or form, please let me know right now. But I think there are positives and negatives to bringing a player back right before camp who's been on the team for the last 2 years.
I think it's, I mean, I'm good with it, you know. Oh, sorry, I should probably say more.
I was going to make you either, your two options there, Seth, were either keep talking or not get a point thrown to you for the remainder of this podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm just watching analytics Twitter and film Twitter destroy itself over Fred Warner's contract. So that I'm just having way too much fun.
I don't get paid to care about that contract, so I'm not going to.
Oh, you know what?
That's not within my realm of, I've got too many things to care about.
That's
man.
Very MJ of you. Hey, that is very Republicans buy sneakers too of you, my friend.
No, I'm saying I'm reserving my brain waves of like goat. I'm saying I do not have an opinion on Fred Warner because no one comes to me for an opinion on Fred Warner. Like, I've got an Alex Okafor take that I'll give you in a second. A smaller overall impact on the NFL world, but better for the people that are listening to this show.
Yeah,
July 21st, 2021, 12:27 p.m., the date and time we are recording, Josh Briscoe has made a verbal agreement that he will not give his opinion unless asked. And I'm holding you to that for the rest of our lives.
I'm just picking my spots is all. I'm just picking my spots.
Is it a two-year deal? That's really a five-year deal? Or am I saying it's a five-year deal? That's really a three-year deal.
I just think it's fun watching people annihilate one another. Anyway, so with Alex Okafor, I'm fine with the signing. I would have preferred Ingram. I think he played better last year. But I think Okafor, when healthy, and this is the when healthy caveat, right? Because he struggled with injuries both years in Kansas City. That is something he struggled with a bit in New Orleans, except the year before the Chiefs brought him on. He's in for a much cheaper price than he was originally brought for. He's a guy you can have out there. Won't be a weak spot. So far, he hasn't shown in Kansas City that he won't add a ton of juice to the pass rush, but he can. He's a high effort guy. It's just going to be a matter of health. Can he stay healthy? If he does, you can get by with an average dude over there. It doesn't move the needle in terms of what you're counting on with the defense, with that front four pass rush, which in a lot of ways is, it should be pretty good with Reed and Jones, regardless of what Clark does, but the ceiling really rises and falls with Frank Clark. And I don't think Okafor changes that in a way that Ingram, who's not a star at this point, but I think he's a better pass rusher. I think he moves the needle a little more there. So I'm good with it. I'm glad they brought him back. I would have preferred Ingram, but it's definitely good that they got someone that they trust who knows the system, who has shown when he's healthy can contribute and do fine.
The couple little things that I wanted to throw out there, some things that I tweeted yesterday, these are not be all end all by any means. In fact, I agree that if you're going to say, hey, you could have one of these guys in a vacuum to add more of an impact, or maybe it's raise the ceiling as opposed to setting the floor, I would have also preferred Ingram over Okafor. But also, I did think it's kind of interesting that Okafor, who has had a ton of injury issues, this does not change that at all. He's played one more regular season game than Melvin Ingram over these last couple of years, and has one more sack also. And he had I've got like pressure numbers. Ingram had more pressures than Okafor did, but Ingram played like 300 more defensive snaps. Right. I do not have pressure rate. I do not have hit rate. There are way better stats than the ones that I just gave, so please don't use those as a be all end all argument for anything. But I do think it's interesting that those guys can be kind of comparable in some of their pros and cons, but I do agree that it would have felt like Ingram could have added something that is not in Okafor's toolbox necessarily. But I have had a handful of questions about I'm going to do the thing, everybody, bingo, drinking game, whatever. Like, it made me think about Bashaud Breland too.
Yeah.
To say, hey, the Chiefs went unknown quantity and a little bit cheaper, although overall with the draft pick, maybe not cheaper, to bring in Mike Hughes and try that instead of going back with a known quantity in Bashaud Breland. In this circumstance, they also go with a lower cap hit, almost certainly with Okafor. And they go the other way, though. They go with the guy that they do know who didn't play all that impactfully, last year for the most part, tons of injury issues and all of that. So I did find it very interesting that they were in on Ingram, like apparently until towards the end. Like, that was the report, that it was the Chiefs and Steelers and Dolphins were all seriously interested. So obviously the Chiefs wanted to add somebody at edge. Okafor, I think, is a pending the number, I suppose, relatively difficult to get super like bent out of shape about, but also very difficult to think it's going to be a needle mover one way or the other, I guess.
Yeah, and as I wrote in The Athletic, one number that jumped out to me, even with the injuries, because you can look at, games played when it comes to Alec Okafor. I mean, he has yet to play 40% of the snaps on the Chiefs defense in either season. So as I wrote, that should be a goal for him. Like, can you play 40 to 50% of the defensive snaps at a position that's like wildly important? When I know the coaching staff with Steve Spagnuolo and Brendan Daly really want to get production out of that position, and yet Tano Pasquino played more last season. So I think about that, and the other smaller part is financially. This gets really interesting, and I don't have a specific answer other than we all acknowledge that sometimes a player can sign a 3-year, $18 million contract where, you know, by and large, and that's what Okafor signed in 2019, that you may not get all 18. Like, mm-hmm. that's the best case scenario. You're on the team for 3 years. You pretty much earn most of the $18 million. One of the smaller things that I could not figure out last year, obviously we were going through the pandemic and the training camp was not in St. Joseph and you just weren't talking to the same level of people in and around and after practices, was why did Okafor void his contract to then become a free agent when everyone at that time either A, knew a season was going to happen, but B, with no fans, and C, the salary cap was going to be implicated. Mm-hmm. In essence, it was going to probably either stay flat or unfortunately fall to some degree. So that was surprising because he's on the team for a third season, yet he never got to the end of the 3-year 13 or the 3-year $18 million contract. And now he's playing that final year on a number much lower than that. We assume less than four. So it's an interesting thought process as to gambling and betting on yourself, which we've all talked about before, the reasons behind that. And obviously the respect that comes from a player saying, hey, I want to do well this season and then maximize my earning potential in future years thereafter. This did not work out for Alex Okafor in that regard. But that's something that was that jumped out to me. Those are the two things that jumped out to me doing some additional reporting and trying to figure out the overall thought process of how this all came together. But look, is he insurance for Taco Charlton? Sure. Is Taco Charlton insurance for Alex Okafor? Sure. Is somebody going to play the defensive end position? I guess. But your rotation is Chris Jones, a little bit of Frank Clark, maybe a lot of Frank Clark. Who really knows? Taco Charlton, Alex Okafor, Mike Dana, maybe a smidge of Joshua Kando.
Yeah, I was going to ask about kind of the rest of those guys, how you thought it impacted them, but I think that makes a lot of sense. Also, just a note that is not new, but just sort of interesting, is Alex Okafor has a $2 million dead cap hit for the Chiefs this year already.
Yeah.
It's just year three of his signing bonus being stretched out. It was a $6 million signing bonus, so that was always going to be there. But it's not, it's not quite Sammy Watkins, right? But like, the structure and having a little dead money and having some injury issues and having some dancing around contract wise, it's a little Sammy Watkins esque, not directly, but sort of like that.
Right. Josh, if you think that, and I don't know this for a fact, but if you, and this is speculation, but if you think that, like, hey, we come to you or you come to us, player to team to player, and say, hey, let's figure this out, let's restructure it, let's void out the last year, knowing essentially what you just said, that there's going to be dead money involved, even though we all assume, again, the cap was not going to rise in the traditional manner. So that cap hit was going to be a larger percentage of that. But you get some creative cushion to bring in Le'Veon Bell?
How did that work? Was that good? I can't remember.
I mean, because that's the real move they made.
Yeah.
And they were up against it all year because of obviously the maneuvering they had to do after the 2019 season. But in essence, the middle of the season, that's the move they did. Was like, hey, let's bring in Le'Veon for, I can't remember what his salary was. Like, if it was a vet minimum stretched out or prorated or whatever they call it. But like,
I think it was a tiny bit. I think it was a bit above that. I'll be able to tell you in a second.
So again, and that's a sign of respect to Le'Veon and what he has done in his career. And to, again, pursue him away from, who was it? The Dolphins at the time. So, I mean, you know, these are all these things, but it's like, again, from the player side, and from the team side,
It was 1 year, $1 million for Bell, which I think ended up shrinking down to $705,000, according to SpotTrack. Seth, with all of that being said, does that do anything for you in terms of those other defensive ends? Does that tell you anything about how the Chiefs feel about any of those guys or what you're expecting or hoping for from any of the, I mean, I was going to say the non-Chris Jones, non-Frank Clark ends, but I think, honestly, it could give them an excuse to put Chris Jones back in the middle for a few more snaps too, if they wanted to, I guess. So what do you make of that?
I guess, I mean, if we're going to talk about it in terms of Chris Jones, I think And we all have a tendency to see our priors in mm-hmm. everything that happens, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this happens to confirm this thing that I already thought. But this happens to confirm a thing I already thought. it doesn't, obviously. It could mean nothing with regards to Jones. I remain curious at how much end he's going to actually play. My theory has been it's going to be a lot more than recent years, but still like maybe like 25%, give or take. If it were going to be more, I'm not sure why you need Alex Okafor, because mm-hmm. Mike Dana is a perfectly good run-stopping defensive end. Like he's pretty decent at it. You know, Taco Charlton's a guy that you can maybe get a little pass rush juice from. And so if you've already got your primary quote unquote guy in Jones, what are you doing? Why would you need Okafor to come back? Now, maybe they're concerned about Frank Clark. I think his court date got kicked out to October.
Yes.
And so, I mean, if the league hasn't done anything yet, I don't think they're going to do anything now. I think like gun charges without a victim. This is not a domestic violence thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is not right, like right. something that's going to get him like, oh, you're on indefinite, whatever. So that to me, it says that maybe they're concerned about a long-term thing with Clark, but maybe it also just means that Jones at defensive end is going to be a fun change of pace, but not something they do every single snap. Or like even like 50% of the time or 75% of the time. Because even if it was 50% of the time, I don't know why you need Okafor, right? Yeah. Depth is always good, of course, especially with a guy that you trust. But other than that, I mean, I think it doesn't tell us a ton we didn't already know. Taco Charlton is a guy that flashed a little bit, you know, didn't do a lot. Dane is a guy that seems to have a clear ceiling due to some athletic limitations. I guess we'll see. Maybe it tells me that maybe Tershawn Wharton won't be at defensive end and someone owes me an explanation.
Like, it also screams out, hey, camp always need bodies. Like that's one of the things people always at camp. We need a body. Well, we know this body. And mm-hmm, I mean, we out here playing 17 games and did Frank Clark play all 16 last year? Because I think it was either I will double check this, but it might have been him and I think Tano played 15. But who can play
Clark
six?
Clark played 15 last regular season and only started 11, but appeared in 14 in 2019.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 17 game season, you're at an extra game. Guy knows the system. I know.
I guess Clark might have just sat week 17, by the way, last year.
So that gives. Again, that confirms what I confirm, what I believed at the time. But you know, like, all right, whatever happens with Frank, happens with Frank. But at least you know, or you assume, or you have some safety to be like, well, one of these defensive ends is going to play majority of the game. Other side, knee body, 17 games. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, I know you get on your couch on Sunday or you show up at the stadium. Alec Okafor, does help stabilize the locker room just because he's been there. He is a veteran. He is very smart, eloquent when he talks. Love him. Love talking to him all the time.
Can you get a good locker room presence for less than like $30 million a year? Because I don't know that you can.
I mean, you know, it just there's more than what you see on Sundays is all I'm trying to tell you.
I thought the going rate for a good locker room presence was like $30 million annually.
Noble listeners understand that I'm not saying anything, but I'm shaking my head disapprovingly.
That's fine.
That should be enough.
Being publicly disowned by you for the first time ever, I'm sure. Yeah, no, how will I handle this one? Seth, you have to bounce a little bit before we're going to wrap up here today. So I did want to give you a chance to kind of just pick of one of the things that you've written about that we haven't gotten to since the last episode. And we talked about Willie Gay Jr. some, so I really think the main thing is the Freak Play Friday and you just talking about how good Travis Kelce is. There was some other dumb list of, you know, George Kittle's number one and Travis Kelce's number two, and everyone gets really angry, and I always will take any opportunity for you to talk about Travis Kelce.
I love talking about Travis Kelce, and I will gladly do that. The thing that I opened it is with this article that is actually available for anyone on the Substack, because I think people need to see this kind of stuff. Travis Kelce is always open. And the way I open, there's a few things I talk about that I think cannot be overstated, like things that I will go to the wall over with regards to the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes' intelligence is underrated. Now that's starting to come around. So maybe that'll stop being one of my go to the mattresses issues because everyone else believes it. Jamaal Charles belongs in the Hall of Fame. And I will prove anyone wrong who says otherwise. And they'll think that I didn't, but they'll be wrong. So who cares? The 2003 Chiefs win the Super Bowl if Mike Maslowski stays healthy.
Wow.
And they would. They would have. Wow. They would have. I can prove it, Nate.
Get Mike on the phone.
Wow.
I have got to find out. And like my high school heart just exploded. Whoa.
Yes.
You're telling me Mike Maslowski stopping Peyton Manning?
Mike Maslowski, the defense with him was average once he got hurt.
It really did fall off a cliff.
It fell off a cliff because their coordinator didn't know what he was doing. And I'm not even going to name names, but it just is what it is. And Maslowski was out there telling dudes, you know, the stuff that we always talk about with Anthony Hitchens?
Yes. Hitchens is more valuable than people realize.
Look, y'all, I know the DC just told you to do this. Don't do that.
That's stupid.
They are not running to the left. They are, in fact, passing the ball the other direction on a screen. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Do what I tell you to do, right? And you see a delineation before he gets hurt and after. They go from about a league average defense to one of the worst in history. And I think they stopped Manning once, just one time. And I think Peyton Manning is the only person that goes shot for shot with that offense. Josh, you would have been approximately 7 at the time. Actually, I'm not even sure that's an exaggeration.
But by the way,
I would have been 9, I think. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know Seth's got to go here. You've never seen anything
like that offense. Go ahead. But I mean, am I right? That offense was unstoppable.
No, you're right. It's one of the games that I think that people most forget when it comes to Peyton Manning's career is that 2003 AFC divisional game where it's just like, okay, Dante Hall went to Super Saiyan level. Priest Holmes made one mistake. Tony Gonzalez was open all day. And he still won. it's just one of those things. Just like, hey, what did you know? You were watching the Hall of Famer in the presence of said Hall of Fame player. That was the game, kids. That was the game.
They never punted.
They never punted. They scored a billion points, and they would have kept scoring had the clock not run out.
Yeah, no, that game would have ended a million to a million. So anyway,
if I just really quick for my timeline to semi quote a great observation from my dear friend and colleague Rudy Salazar. I mostly know Mike Maslowski from his work in Monsters Inc.
Oh.
Mike Krzyzewski. All right, I have to go in about 1 minute.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll do Travis this. Kelce. This is another thing that I go to the mattress on. Travis Kelce is always open.
Isn't the phrase go to the mat? Go to the mattress sounds sexual.
No, go to...
Yeah, it does.
Watch The Godfather, Josh.
Isn't it go to the mat? It's like wrestling. The mat is wrestling. The mattress does not sound like it's a different type of wrestling.
Right now. I can't do this with you right now. So, gosh.
All right, take Travis Kelce to the mattress.
I'm honest to God afraid I'm going to hurt myself.
And somewhere ladies are thinking, yes, go on. Take Travis Kelce to the mattress.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You go to the mattresses. It means go to war. Okay.
Go ahead.
Good Lord. Anyway.
Don't you have to leave soon?
Travis Kelce is always open. Turn on any game. Throw on Game Pass. Pick a random snap. Travis Kelce is probably open unless he's a decoy or something.
Again,
I wanted to write about that because, said by women all across the country,
Travis Kelce is always open. Yes.
In back to back weeks.
If he wants to start a relationship, I'm open as well, is what they're saying.
I muted my mic so I wouldn't interrupt you for this, Seth. Nate did it. Just know that Nate
did
that.
I know. I blame you for the influence.
Even though, by the way, the quick reporting fact. This man is in a relationship. Ladies, let him live his life.
Yeah,
the way he wants to, okay? He is with a lovely young lady. Let it play out. Just don't, you ain't got to get up all up in people's business. But
you too,
I've
Seth.
Encouraged you otherwise.
Yes. So I have to go. I wrote about Travis Kelce. You should check it out. One of my favorite things that I did, back-to-back weeks, during the playoffs last year, he burned a pair of Pro Bowl corners. Oh. One of them in just utterly humiliating fashion. And you should go check it out. And the thing to look at is I broke down each step of a route he ran against a Pro Bowl corner in Denzel Ward. And what you see is with his routes, every single step has a purpose. You hear crap like wasted steps all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's often just a buzzword people are using. It's like, oh, pad level. But with Travis Kelce, you can see it in action what it means when someone doesn't waste steps. And he is one of the greatest route runners I've ever seen. So read about that. Nate, try to keep Josh in line. And I'm excited to talk with you guys soon.
Thank you, Seth. You can check out the newsletter.
I love you, Seth.
MNChiefsFan.substack.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. And I mean, I guess you can just tweet. You can just tweet about Mike Mislowski with him on Twitter. I'm sure he would love that. Nate, with that as an excuse for a jumping off point, we got a good 10 or 15 minutes where we can chat about some stuff we're looking forward to in training camp right now. I mean, I know that we're going to beat every single storyline to absolute smithereens over the course of the month. But, you know, we'll be able to say, ooh, Creed Humphrey getting all the first team reps, as opposed mm-hmm. to saying, I wonder if Creed Humphrey is going to get all the first team reps. Right. So what intrigues you right now? Like, what are you going to be driving to St. Joe looking for, you know, Saturday or something? Let's start with the rookies and quarterbacks reporting, specifically with that group, because, again, we're going to see them first over the weekend. What are you hoping to see from them?
Yeah, I mean, it's... All right, be professional. Don't think about insert player's name to the mattress. Okay, here we go. I am really fascinated by Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey. Obviously, those are the first two guys taken in the draft. Now, there are some scenarios where younger players entering their second year who did not get much playing time. Yes, I'm looking at you, Bo Peep Keys, mm-hmm. where they will report early to at least make it like 7-0-7, you know, right. something.
I'm sorry if you don't know the answer to this. Is there like a CBA thing, like a playing time thing, or do you know?
Yeah, you can get an exception. Sometimes it's worked out between the player and the team, and then the PA sure. can get involved. But ultimately, cool. it's like if you're coming back from injury, if you're a second or third year guy, and you're trying to make the depth chart the way we mm-hmm. all envision, mm-hmm. You can sort of forego reporting on the Veterans Day. And sometimes, the coaches and the training staff kind of like that because it's less, it's a less person to get through when everybody shows up. Yeah. And obviously you can start really seeing what the coaches want as they get ready for training camp. So, when that happens, I'll report who's there, who isn't over the weekend. But for Patrick and Creed Humphrey, this is just more chances to build reps, to build chemistry. Hey, we had some time off. I looked at the playbook. Now I want to ask you about this, Patrick. Or now I want to ask you about that. Or, hey, let's look at this clip from one of the 11-on-11 team periods in minicamp. I was sort of confused here. Like, explain it to me. So there's chances for that kind of stuff to happen. One name that I think some fans have asked me about, and we're going to get some answers quickly, is DeAndre Baker. He did not participate because of, obviously, the broken femur he had in the regular season finale against the Chargers. When will he be participating? When will he, show up? How will he look? And all of this is interesting. I'm fascinated by just the cornerback position in general, just because of both of our feelings about Bashaud Breeland, what that means for Mike Hughes, who, by the way, looked like he was on a new team in June. So, hey, maybe don't look like you're on a new team in August, or mm-hmm. less, or lesser of that. And look, that's understandable. I mean,
imagine, he was on a new team. But
imagine being traded and being like, all right, y'all, go cover Tyree. He looks like he's on a new team. Right. I think there's real chances for players to ascend. I know you want me to mention Trey Smith. I know, I understand that's what you want. I will give it to you when it is deemed relevant. Okay.
Yeah.
Same with, I'm just going to call him the white horse until otherwise, until it is proven differently. Same with Noah Gray, the white horse. but I don't know. What do you think is, I guess my question to you is, because I think for even our listeners, these answers could go in a number of different places. What most intrigues you about the offense and what intrigues you most about the defense going into camp? Because you could just about give any answer and I would honestly believe you.
Yeah, I think I really like the view on the offensive side of just like the rookies who are getting their second sort of experience with Patrick Mahomes, because the OTAs and the mini camps and the rookie mini camps and all, we're all very close together, really. And so I kind of thinking of that as like stage one of their first NFL preseason, offseason, whatever. You get to get in, and if you have any, if you have a nanosecond of being starstruck that you're snapping the ball to Patrick Mahomes or catching the ball from Patrick Mahomes or whatever, that's got to be gone come training camp.
Yes.
And with there being so many impactful guys, theoretically impactful guys, of Noah Gray and Cornell Powell catching passes from Patrick Mahomes as rookies, and then Creed Humphrey being the guy snapping the ball to him, the offensive line that gets kind of cobbled together in front of Mahomes for the first couple of days. Like, I really do think that we have seen some long developing chemistry things with like Mecole Hardman, who might be one of those answers for a veterans reporting section of the conversation too.
Yep.
But we've seen how long that can take and how important it is that there is some amount of chemistry amongst all these guys. So I think the fact that there's going to be a couple of days for Mahomes to, he's not going to throw to Cornell Powell 80% of the time any other day of the week, right? Like, it's just going to be at the beginning with him and Gray. A chance to work with those guys directly, I think, is probably a good thing. Also, certainly Creed Humphrey. Defensively, I mean, again, we've pretty much, as we say, fed the horse on the cornerback position. And I guess I'll be interested to see if we get any sort of immediate pop from Josh Kando. I don't, or even, you know, this is something that has been more true in past years. I don't know if it'll be as true this year. I'd like to see how the defensive coaching staff works with the corners, especially the new guys, with the defensive ends, with Josh Kando, especially. Yep. Just all of those new guys, because sometimes you can really see Spags off to the side working on something. Sometimes you can see, but down in the lineman drills, down in the bottom right corner from the tent, like, you can hear some things and see some things and really see where guys are being pushed. And so I'm always interested to see names that we know, oftentimes being draft picks, how they get sort of treated throughout those processes, and if they give a little blip on the radar, that would be nice. I also am going to try very hard to not overreact to things that we see from training camp, because believe it or not, it's not quite the same thing as performing in a game.
Yeah, it's not. And even for somebody like Yazir Durant, right? I mean,
yeah.
You were one of the guys that made the roster for the 2020 Chiefs. Can you do mm-hmm. it again? You know,
yeah.
It's a tough ask to be Ben Neiman. You know, there's usually maybe one or two of those guys that not only are undrafted and make the roster 1 year, but make it in year two, year three, and obviously continue on. So can Yazir Durant continue his development for the Chiefs to continue to invest in him? Now, some could say maybe you could put him on the practice roster, or excuse me, the practice squad going into the year if it sort of shakes out a certain way on the offensive line. But these are guys that will be in mind. I mean, Nick Kaiser is going to have to fight to stay on this roster, obviously, because they drafted at his position. Jordy Forson has switched to that position. Blake Bell has returned, you know, for that position as well. So, you know, I think the first 5 days of training camp are a dream. They're so amazing. I can't tell you enough how exciting it is, especially after what we've all gone through in our lives with this pandemic. I mean, the first 4 or 5 days are going to be great, especially when you start to include the fans and season ticket members and all that. The longer I do this, the more admiration I have for Travis Kelce still working somebody on day 12. When he has no business doing this. Like, sir, that man is trying to earn a practice squad roster.
Right.
Not you the 53. What you doing?
You just spun him around like if it was an episode of Looney Tunes, he would have dug into the core of the earth if it was a cartoon. Like, that is what he did to him.
Yeah. This also gets into the veteran thing. Yes, I know people will be interested in Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I wonder where that's going to go. There are some parallels to the Chris Jones effect, but Chris Jones was nowhere nearly established as Tyrann Mathieu is now, especially coming off 2 All-Pro seasons. Chris Jones did not have that going into year 4. Yeah. But there are parallels where the Chiefs organization is sometimes like, hey, this is a contract. I don't know about the future. Let's see it shake out. Tyrann Mathieu is already motivated, kids. And I don't care if it's day 4. Day 14, day
8 of just picking random days.
That you went another F, and there wasn't. I don't think there was one.
Yeah, because there's only like 19 days of training camp. I can't even remember.
Yeah, I was going to say 3 weeks, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to go hard regardless. And on top of this is, hey, man, they don't believe me the way I believe me. And that might not be true. It just may be contract related. And this is why contract negotiations are so gripping. I mean, we all just watched the finals, right?
No, we didn't. We turned them off.
See how I brought it around, kids?
You really did. Well, I'm not going to let you into there.
We all watched NBA Countdown, right? We all knew what was going on. On camera and off camera.
We knew a lot. We knew a lot more than we usually ladies and gentlemen.
So, hey, contract negotiations, they do not go. It's hard to go to have these things go smooth ever. And sometimes you can even tell Tyrann Mathieu that. And he's smart and intelligent and been through this enough to even know that. But sometimes they don't believe in me the way I believe in me. And that is how he's entering training camp this year.
Here's my very last request for you on Mathieu, and then we can wrap things up. Do you have any different feel about the contract getting done or just sort of the timeline on it? And do you think it is a 100% guarantee that he is there for the first day of veterans reporting?
I have been given nothing that suggests he won't be there. He gonna be there. I think Tyrann, there's something really special about him. Just from a professionalism standpoint, the idea of what he motivates. I mean, he knows he's the leader of the defense. Like, he knows all the responsibilities that have been placed upon him the moment he put pen to paper in 2019 during free agency. Like, he understood all that from the start. So, I've obviously talked to some folks. I get the feeling that he's going to be there on time. By the way, I thought Chris Jones was 50-50 in 2019. I was like, what time is it? Yeah, he ain't coming. And then he came. Ladies and gentlemen, this man showed up at exactly 2 o'clock because the first team meeting was at 2:15. He literally was the last guy to show up. But hey, he fulfilled his obligations. I think Tyrann will do the same thing. If you've been reading The Athletic, I've started saying right now, in line with historical contracts and where he is in his career and what he's accomplished based on future performance and the projection of that, 3 years at a $15 million average. Is Andy Reid, Clark Hunt, Brett Veach comfortable with that? Are you comfortable with that as a Chiefs fan? Just start asking yourself those questions. Does Tyrann want 3 versus 4? That could come into play too. How much of the money is guaranteed? Is it a 3-year deal that's really a 2-year deal? Is it a 4-year deal that's really a 2-year deal? These are all questions you have to ask yourself. And can he get to that $15 million per year annual threshold? Because I think that is the true demarker of, like, the elite guys get this at that position on defense.
It's going to be super interesting. I agree 100%, by the way, that I would be really surprised if he didn't show up. Just doesn't seem like the way he's trying to run this particular game and would be sort of jarring.
It would be counterproductive, honestly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because that's part of the sales job there, right? Is like, hey, you're partially paying me to be here and set the intensity every day or whatever. Maybe there's some 3D chess of like, look at what happens when I'm not there. But it would certainly be surprising.
Yeah.
For more on that, as we do get to training camp, this will be the last show we do before camp does actually open. You can, of course, follow both of us on Twitter. Nate is at @ByNateTaylor. I'm at JB Briscoe. He'll have great reports and observations from camp. I will have angsty tweets throughout the NBA free agency period this year and the NBA draft coming up and all of that. But also, of course, you should be reading everything that Nate puts out up on The Athletic, especially over the course of camp. There was a good thing, a sort of team piece on the worst move everybody made during the offseason. I'm not even going to say what yours was for the Chiefs because I want people to go click it, but I will tell you that I was very pleased to see that thing that was highlighted there. Also, sort of surprised to see that there were 20 guys that are on a contract year for the Chiefs this season, and you kind of went through and looked at what those guys could be bringing to the table. Plus, just went up earlier today, a great piece about Bobby Bell, and as The Athletic goes through their NFL 100 project, so you can go check out that up on The Athletic brand new today as well. I think I've covered all of the bases, so Nate, you can take us away from there.
Yeah, if you come to St. Joseph, please come find us and say hello.
Please.
I don't know what we'll be doing other than watching practice. We may be talking to folks But this is my annual, please come to St. Joe if you have the means and the time to do so, if you're really invested in the team. If you've listened to Times Ours before, just come up and say hi. One of us three will be there almost just about every day. I'll be either in probably a Kansas City 1942 Monarchs ball cap, or I might throw in a Therese Paylor honored buckle, you know, sort of. I don't love the bucket hat, but he loved the bucket hat. So maybe I'll throw that out there. But please just come say hi. You know, I'm always interested to talk to fans and what they are interested in learning and trying to figure out. And hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Because obviously, we can get in our own mental bubbles and how we report these things, or what my eyes may see is different than your eyes. And I just the ability to see fans in person, the ability to interact with people after, you know, months of not doing so, I look forward to it. So we're going to be out there. We're going to be sweating. If you want a sweaty hug, come say hi.
Hi, hi. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.